Helping Hand. We try to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and to other folks who are among the most vulnerable and in need. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, the Domestic Violence Action Center, the CEO, Nancy Creedman. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. Been a lot of mentions of domestic violence in our news cycle. Police officers involved, sports celebrity visiting the islands. Tell us a little bit about how you see your role in combating it and supporting folks who are victims of it here in the islands.
Well, I always relish these opportunities to let the community know we're here. We like to think everybody knows we're here, but really they don't. It's a good opportunity to reinforce the availability of programs that we have at the Domestic Violence Action Center that are designed with the needs of survivors in sharp focus. We have attorneys on staff who carry a divorce caseload, restraining order caseload, paternity, post-decree. If a person already has a divorce and the orders made by the court aren't really working for them, we help them go back and fix it. We have advocates on staff that help people navigate their journey to safety and freedom. We have educators who help the community understand what a complex and costly problem domestic violence is. Staff who help to improve the way the system responds. System doesn't work all that well, believe it or not. We've got all these things in place, but they benefit from some improvement. Public awareness campaigns, public policy conversations. How do we make the laws stronger, helping victims be safer? So we're pretty busy. We have a legal helpline, on-site court staff. So if I'm going to get a restraining order, I will have the great benefit of encountering somebody from the Domestic Violence Action Center to help me get that restraining order. 30 years ago, when we first started thinking about domestic violence from a community perspective, we put all of our hope in the criminal and civil justice system. What we have since learned is the criminal justice system, law enforcement, civil justice may not be the only thing. And so we've had to broaden our perspective and really involve many sectors in the community. So we do a lot of work on the ground, engaging employers, healthcare providers, clergy. Everybody can play an important role.
Legal helpline.
Well, let's say I was assaulted by my husband last night.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left this morning, he said, I'm going to take all the money out of the bank account and you will never see those kids again. Somebody calls us and says, now, this is what my husband said. Can he do that? And then we sort through with her what's happened, what the history is, what her options are, how she can prevent that from happening or how she can stay safe.
Is that 24/7?
It is not 24/7. 8:30 to 4:30.
Just weekdays.
Right.
Legal representation in court.
I'm thinking I'm going to get a temporary restraining order. It's a two-step process. First step is I go and I file what's called an ex parte petition. I explain why I think I need that restraining order, why I think I'm in danger, what has already occurred that places me in danger. That order gets served on my partner. And then in 2 weeks, we both have to come back. The judge says to me, in your own words, tell me what happened. And the judge says to him or her, in your own words, tell me what happened. Now, I have the right to have an attorney go with me. It is terrifying to be in a courtroom with your abuser sitting 4 or 5 feet away. So if I have somebody standing beside me, like a lawyer who really knows how to navigate the court system and protect my rights and my property and my safety, it's gigantic, incomparable, really. So our attorneys will go with people. A divorce is a much longer process.
Sure.
So they help negotiate every step of the way.
Advocacy angle.
One is we advocate with the individual. It's an exhaustive undertaking for the person who is scared, has been tormented, has been threatened, doesn't know what their options are. So our staff at the Domestic Violence Action Center listen deeply to what a person is experiencing and help them figure out what they can do. The other kind of advocacy we do is we try to make the system work better. Public policy, which would be legislation, with our system partners. So we're in dialogue with the police. Another example of a call to our helpline. The police came to my house last night after my boyfriend was beating me up, and this is what they did. Is that what they're supposed to do? And then we help figure out, okay, so where do you live? And maybe we call the watch commander. Maybe we offer some suggestions. Maybe we get some additional information.
Isn't it even more tricky when a woman is being beaten by a cop? How does that woman get help? I mean, because you hear these stories in Hawaii, whether it's Maui, here.
Yeah.
Wow, what an even more frightening position. This guy is armed by the government, essentially.
Right.
It's your word against his.
Correct.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, that does put a person in a particularly vulnerable situation. And we try to to provide them the kind of special support they need to go up against an institution like the police department, there are great risks to coming forward, whether you're a victim of a police officer or you're just a victim of a businessman or a businesswoman. There's not one formula or one recipe. Your restraining order, for example, is not perfect for everybody.
I'm sure they serve a certain purpose, but it's so frightening. You always hear there was that, it was violated how many times, and something's so wrong about it. It's like striking an animal. I don't know how to describe it to you. It just it hits you in a certain...
Well, it seems so obvious.
Right, kind
and
of
how
thing.
Come we're not as a community rising up and doing what's necessary to stop it or respond when we see it?
Well, that's a great lead into how we can, as we think of the ways you could be helped, what are the best ways we could help you?
Well, there's a variety of things. We received a large award from Servco.
That's right.
And selected 10 organizations in the community to give a $25,000 cash award to. Those kinds of gifts are few and far between. But cash and financial support is always a need. We have a staff of 45 people who are answering the phones, going to court, navigating the system.
Or their financial requirements for the victims in terms of if they can qualify to get the support.
We have a sliding fee. So the more gifts and grants we get, the more people we can serve.
So they pay a reduced fee of some kind.
Right. We don't turn people away if they can't pay, but there are costs to going to court, filing.
So there are fees involved, but if a woman is...
no income or is very low income, the fees are waived or it's a small amount to cover costs. The other things that we need everybody to see that they can play a role in helping us address domestic violence. We need the business community to see that victims bring their domestic violence with them to work, to have informed managers, informed HR people, so they can be supportive.
If there are people in the workplace who see a coworker and they suspect something like this is going on, is that also a way that they could reach out to you first
and say,
hey, I'm concerned about someone?
Yep, that's perfect. It used to be that people believe, oh, well, this is a social services problem. Well, really, it isn't. It's everybody's problem. There are exorbitant costs to the community in addressing domestic violence. So we need everybody to see they can educate themselves. Maybe their church congregation could become better educated and step up.
Sounds like you're painting a great way for folks to get involved. You're asking people to create little interventions, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You see it at work. You see anyone in your church. You see somebody in your life.
And you can reach out to them. It's always a good idea to get some more information. People like to know that people in their life care. And if you can suspend your judgment, have a conversation with an open heart.
Mm.
I mean, there's a lot of judgment. And there's a lot of impatience. Like, well, it's obvious he's a jerk. Why didn't she just leave him? I mean, it's a tangled path.
That's why I suggest talking to you guys first. Yeah. It's complicated.
It is complicated. There's one other thing I want to add that we could use some help.
Please.
We are looking to entice the next generation to join us in our work. Young professionals, we need some new members to our board of directors so that they are positioned to take over the work. Lawyers, advocates, counselors, people.
Anybody who's got the spirit.
Yeah, anybody who's got the spirit. Educators. I mean, we got kids in school. For many years, people say, well, we need new textbooks. We need iPads for kids. I'm thinking, if a kid has been hiding under their bed overnight because there's domestic violence going on in their home, you could give them the best textbook, the best iPad, the best air conditioner, and they can't think. So we have to have our schools as a safe place for children.
DomesticViolenceActionCenter.org, the legal helpline we've discussed.
The office is open 8 to 5, but the helpline is functioning from 8:30 to 4:30.
531-3771. Toll-free Neighbor Island Helpline, 800-690-6200. Email dvac@stoptheviolence.org. All of their contact information, the radio feature, the full-length interview, and all of our other Helping Hand guests and all their information is at hawaiipublicradio.org. CEO, Domestic Violence Action Center, Nancy Creedman, great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.